It's 7:06. Good evening. I'm Leslie Thatcher, KPCW News Director, with some breaking news. Well, it has been a day unlike any other in Park City and Summit County today due to the news that the first confirmed case of COVID-19, the coronavirus, was contracted due to what is being called community spread. Since then, Utah, Summit County, and Park City officials have been working tirelessly to plan a course of action. On the phone with me right now, I have got Summit County Health Director Rich Bulla. Hi, Rich. Worn out yet?
Hi, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm as probably worn out as you are, but I'm doing okay. So Good. Healthy at this point here. So as I mentioned, a big day, all starting with the first confirmed case, the coronavirus, considered to be community spread, and it feels like it just escalated from there. First Vail Resorts, then Alterra Mountain Company, then Bill White Restaurants telling KPCW he's closing all of his restaurants, and now word that all restaurants will be closing as of tomorrow night. Can you kind of walk us through this?
Yes. So let me first of all share, you're completely accurate in saying that once we have community spread of the COVID-19 virus, everything changes and our approach becomes, for lack of a better word, a little bit more aggressive because we know that it is spreading within our community. So the objective of everything that we've done, I want to point out, we're not going to stop the spread of the virus, but our intent is to slow it. And the reason for that is twofold, at least twofold. Obviously, there are preventive measures, prophylactic measures, vaccines, antivirals in process of being developed. And that's anywhere from maybe 6 months to a year out. And so we're hoping to reduce the number of individuals that become infected while those products are being developed. Perhaps more importantly, we're hoping to slow the spread of the disease so that we can mitigate any surge on our medical facilities, any overrunning of the medical facilities and the capacity to provide the treatment that is needed. So everything that we're doing is focused on that. And if you look at the data with respect to positive cases in the state of Utah, the majority of those cases are in our little tiny county of Summit County. We've got 40,000 people in a state of roughly 3 million, and yet here we are. And those data lead us to be very certain in the fact that these transmissions and now the community spread is to some extent, at least, due to tourism, travel, attractions that bring people here. And so while we fully understand the impact on business, and we take that very seriously, we have had to take these actions to, in essence, mitigate and diminish the number of people gathering, the locations where they gather, and ultimately reduce the spread. And so that's what has brought us here.
Let's go start with the first news. Park City Mountain Vail Resort saying that they will be closing all of their North American resorts for a week until they assess the situation. Alterra Mountain Company and those on the Icon Pass say they will be closing until further notice. What would need to change in order for people to ski through April 12th, through Easter?
I'll just be forthright. I don't see on the horizon anything that would allow that. The actions that we've taken, we absolutely, and first of all, I want to be really clear, they closed on their own. That's very important to point out. These companies, despite potential financial impact and risk, have done the right thing for our community, and that needs to be highlighted. Very, very important. They have been great partners in this. But their relatively short-term, in the case of Vail, relatively short-term closure, we anticipate will not be reversed. We don't see conditions changing quickly. The orders that we are ready to issue, the enforcement orders, are for a duration of 30 days, but we will be reviewing those and reviewing conditions on an ongoing basis.
So let's talk, and I guess, how do we know the impacts to the community isn't greater than what we know now if we haven't been testing everybody?
Very good question. I think we're naive to think it isn't greater. There's every reason to believe that there are more cases in our community than we have identified. And when I'm talking about the community, that's true in the state and it's true in our nation. There are absolutely more cases. We suspect and believe that community spread is much more prevalent than what we are able to report. Yesterday, when the governor had his press conference about closing schools, the medical expert that was part of that press conference said exactly that. He said, we haven't detected community spread yet, but it's here. And I think that's completely accurate. It's more prevalent than we believe.
So this morning at 10 o'clock, you did a live press conference with down at the Utah Department of Health, and then met in a closed meeting with the Summit County Council at noon. After that meeting, or perhaps as a result of that meeting, that's when we started hearing about the resort closures. Can you discuss, I know since it's a closed meeting, it's protected, but can you discuss what was discussed at that meeting, or at least the highlights of that and what you were looking for?
Leslie, as you know, I've got Tom Fisher, the county manager, in the office, and he'll address that.
Okay. Rich, I got more questions
Leslie,
for you.
You know, yes, I want to protect the council's closed sessions. That's a good point. You know, we consulted with. I can say that the council was very deliberate in working with Rich, the health department, and several local advisors in trying to sort through what the current situation was, what possible impacts there were going to be, and then using all that information in order to help advise Rich on where to go with his determinations. And, of course, both of us have powers under these emergency declarations. The ones that we're talking about now are under Rich's jurisdiction.
Can you tell me who was in that meeting? I mean, it was you, the council, the health authorities. I mean, were the restaurants and resort officials with you as well?
We had advisors from all of the areas that we have been discussing, whether it be lodging, restaurants, resorts, local business representatives.
And can you just kind of give me the nature of that conversation? I mean, was everybody kind of on board, just saying, you know what, this is our community, we need to protect it, or can you talk?
So yeah, I will take that out of the realm of the closed session and just give you my impression. I am absolutely amazed and thankful for the support that our local businesses in all realms have been in discussing this item, helping us understand the breadth of the issue from a lot of different perspectives, and then the actions that have been taken. It's remarkable.
Okay, and I don't know if this is a Rich or a Tom question, but let's talk a little bit about what's happening now with the restaurants. Do we need to go back to Rich for that?
Yes. So first of all, the restaurants were part of the conversations. It is accurate to say that tomorrow we're going to be drafting and issuing some enforcement orders. And we think we've come up with a reasonable compromise. Again, restaurants were part of this discussion. In essence, we're going to allow takeout and delivery of meals, but we are not going to allow indoor dining where people gather. And this enforcement is going to apply to restaurants in general, but also restaurants and hotels. And obviously, it's going to apply to bars as well.
So just to use an example here, we've got a number of restaurants and bars that back up to the Sweet Alley area. I mean, how would that work? That the food is prepared in the kitchen, a food handler, which restaurant servers are required to be food handlers, then would walk that food out to a waiting car?
Yeah, that's one option. It's real clear to point out that we're going to leave these plans up to the restaurants. There's going to be a whole continuum of what how they're going to approach this. Obviously, some place like Taco Bell, their business is relatively not affected. A typical drive-through restaurants. Others may choose to do boxed lunches, packaged meals, deliver them to the sidewalk. That's up to the restaurant. What doesn't change, though, are the requirements for food preparation and handling. We're still going to be enforcing that. In fact, we're going to bring up additional environmental health scientists from surrounding counties. And, our hope is that there can be still some business maintained and still protect the public health. One of the concerns in the meeting today was that people need to eat, and the business partners that were part of the conversation stressed that for a lot of people, the grocery stores are not their only option and perhaps not even their best option. And so we need to assure that we don't establish a shortfall of resources available to the community with respect to receiving meals.
All right. Well,
I do want to also point out that there will not be any delivery services, for example, like Uber Eats. Those services are going to be curtailed at the time that we issue this order.
So you expect to have that order tomorrow as of?
Hope is by 5 o'clock.
Okay, so restaurants, we shouldn't expect local restaurants to be open for dinner tomorrow.
That's correct.
How do we ensure that the kitchens and the employees aren't viral? I mean, we don't know how long the virus stays active on a countertop. I mean, we've heard everything from 1 to 9 days.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We are issuing protocols for cleaning the kitchens. We're asking the businesses do a thorough cleaning to meet standards and assure that the virus isn't living on surfaces. Also, we are actively monitoring. Obviously, we've got information out in the public about monitoring symptoms, what to do when you identify symptoms, and also information right now that we know the active cases that have actually been diagnosed in Summit County, and we know the contacts, and we generally know what kind of risk there is with respect to coworkers. So the answer to that is our ability to regulate and completely control the virus it's not complete. But we've done a pretty good job of prioritizing and, in essence, triaging, identifying our greatest risk and building regulations and protections around that risk so that with the resources that we've got, we can have the greatest impact possible.
So how are you going to get that information out to all of the establishments and ensure that they've actually seen it?
So there will be a press release. We'll also be releasing the ordinance, distributing it through the Restaurant Association. It's important to note that there was a call today with the Restaurant Association. I didn't attend the call, but my understanding was it was very productive and very positive, and that they're on board. This shouldn't be, you're one of the reasons you're calling is that this is already public. So I don't think this is going to catch our restaurant owners by surprise.
We've talked about restaurant restrictions. Are we taking steps to limit any other businesses, retail establishments, the grocery stores? What about the liquor stores?
The answer right now is no. But as I said, we prioritize where we think we can have our greatest impact. And the conversations and the analyses of risk are ongoing. So right now, we did just finish a conversation about stores. And at this point in time, we're anticipating that we'll continue that discussion. We understand that people to some extent, people need to continue to have opportunities to shop. And you know, you mentioned grocery stores. People need to buy food. And so much of this is about signage, sanitation, and the old message that we've been talking about now for almost 3 weeks, and that is social distancing. As we walk up and down Main Street and look at the stores, for example, the density of gathering isn't typically great within those stores. And so right now we're taking a look at it. We'll be having conversations with the Main Street Business Alliance and others to enter any decisions that we might make in partnership with them.
You know, another job that kind of dawned on me as I was opening up the mailbox today were postal workers. Mail delivery not impacted by this at all? I mean, you think about, you know, somebody opening the box, putting the mail in, closing the box, me going and getting it.
Yeah.
My
understanding is, and I this is only word of mouth, my understanding is that the Postal Service has implemented on a national scale a cleaning protocol. And it's similar to what they've already done with other instances or other events like anthrax, where they're cleaning and they're screening. And again, that's just word of mouth. I don't know if that's factual, but I've heard it from several sources.
All right. Lots of people, I think, were scared about the news today regarding the employee there at the Spur. If anyone has visited that restaurant since March 6, what do they need to do?
They need to monitor their symptoms. If they develop headaches, fevers, chills, a dry cough, they need to access the call-in services, the lines. Those are statewide lines. My understanding is that they're fairly busy now. But in essence, those lines have three cues, and you make choices on, are you a provider, do you have symptoms, or do you want information? You enter that system, and if you enter the line that says, I've got symptoms, it sends you down a pathway where you will be evaluated if the risk is there. So that's what we're recommending people do. Let me explain a little bit about how this system works. Once somebody identifies and moves into that treatment, they almost instantly are logged into a single information source. It's in essence an epidemiological tracking system that allows local health departments, clinics, and the Utah Department of Health to connect information. And that allows the process to begin. It allows the referral and the screening for testing. And once there is either a negative or a positive test, local health departments are notified. And so I would say, yes, anybody who was there since the 6th. And it's important to note that the individual that was working there wasn't there the whole time. They were in and out. We do have a list of contacts that we're currently investigating, and those were individuals that were actually in close quarters to this person. But we still believe there's relatively low risk to the public because the people were just, he was at the front door and the people were coming past him. They were not lingering in close proximity. So, you know, that's what we advise. Just monitor those risks, and if you have systems, access the system.
I was going to say that the man probably handled everybody's driver's license, took it from them, and handed it back.
Probably so.
Yeah. So it appears that Summit County has been the hardest hit so far in Utah. Any guess at how many more cases we can see?
I can't guess, but I do believe it's going to be a bigger number than we anticipate. You know, if you look at the current models, and I'm not going to throw a number out there, but if you look at the current models of spread, every individual that is positive will be infecting on average somewhere in the ballpark of 2.5 people. And that's an average. And that's based on the data from countries where the outbreak is more significant than ours is right now.
Yeah.
And so if you do the math, 1 to 2.5, it's an exponential curve. It grows quickly.
Yeah.
So we're bracing for that. The medical systems are bracing for it. And the message there isn't one of fear. It's one of people taking precautions. we need to take this seriously. We need to practice social distancing, hygiene. And as I said in the press conference this morning, this is the time that we should be looking not just at ourselves, but the people around us that we're impacting. Our behaviors and how, you know, what we do as far as our own washing of hands, covering up coughs and sneezes, social distancing, having respect for those people around you. This is the time that we need to really focus on that, because it's not about us only. It's about our families. It's about our community. It's about making sure that those at highest risk, which, as you've heard, are older adults with comorbid conditions like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, heart disease, lung disease, those are the populations of people at highest risk, and we need to be sure we do what we can do to protect them.
And do you think our hospitals and local clinics will be able to handle those that need help?
I can't forecast that. What I can tell you is that they've been working on this for a long time. They've been preparing long before COVID-19 was in the news. And so I do trust them. I think they're experts at what they do. I think they've prepared, and only they can really speak to what their ultimate capacity is going to be.
All right. Again, by 5 o'clock tomorrow, we should see some kind of press release and basically an order telling all restaurant, eating establishment, drinking establishments that as of 5 p.m. tomorrow, business will only be done on a drive-up business. Is that accurate?
Correct. Drive-up or delivery. Yeah.
All right. Rich, anything else you want to say? I do have another question for Tom I'd like to talk to him about.
The only thing I want to say is a couple of things. First of all, I think people generally know what a remarkable community we have. As Tom said, watching our businesses and our partners rally around this issue. And I'll just be real forthright about this. We've been part of this process, but many of these individuals and these businesses have been ahead of the curve. They've been taking action that we haven't had to mandate. And that really is remarkable. The partnership is impressive and pretty awe-inspiring. I'd also say that we've got a heck of a crew here in our local government. I'm really proud of us. In our municipalities as well. We've got really good partners in the municipalities and the county. Our departments are working well together. I'm incredibly proud of our health department staff. And I haven't once had to prod anybody to do something. They're here early in the morning, late at night, on weekends, and they're rocking it. So I think we've got a good team addressing this.
All right. Rich Bulla is the director of the Summit County Health Department. I appreciate your time. And if you would put on County Manager Tom Fisher for just another minute, I would appreciate that, too. Thanks.
I'm here.
Hi, Tom. So economically, what do you think this is going to do to our local economy, and how will that manifest in the county budget and some big capital projects that we've got?
Very good question. Clearly this is going to have an impact. I'm not sure that we're as wise to be able to tell you today what exactly that's going to be. But I think all of us in local government, whether you're one of the small municipalities, the county, or Park City, are going to be examining our budgets, our revenue projections for next year, and making some hard choices, because this is going to have an effect. I would say long term, if you look, and this might be too technical, but if you look at transportation projects, certainly some of those have to do with sales taxes, but a lot of it also has to do with BNC road funds. I don't know what the state will be projecting on that given this situation. I'm more concerned about our general and municipal funds. Although those are property tax based, we also have some sales taxes that support some of those functions that are also supported by property tax. So we're going to have to take a really good look at that before we start our budget process in June for the county to make sure that we make the proper adjustments. One thing that we've done extremely well over the last few years is building our fund balances so that we can, planning for the next time that we would have to use those to continue levels of service. I think we'll probably be dipping a little bit into those to deal with this current crisis, but we will also be using those as we move into future budget years.
All right. And I guess we've got ski areas closed, restaurants closed, all the fun stuff. But people, again, can get outside, go for a walk, keep distance, visit other well people, take care of their neighbors if necessary. Yeah, all those activities are okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, following the guidelines that you mentioned and the recommendations from the health department and the state, we're also going to have people working on recommendations out to our community of things they can be doing. And, you know, sometimes a lot of the things that we consider recreation are the, we get used to the easy things and the big things that, that now will go away. There is plenty for us to do to keep ourselves busy, especially as our kids are out of school for a little while.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add, Tom?
That's all I've got, Leslie. I'm sure we'll have more tomorrow.
All right. That's, again, Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. I appreciate your time as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.